It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Worship music is a world of its own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's no shade or shot at anything.
Yeah.
Worship music will stand throughout time. Why? Because it's preparing us for what we're going to do in heaven.
Wow.
And so that's why there is a different power on it. That's why it's a different unity on it. It's gathering cultures. It gathers. It doesn't care about your color. It doesn't care about your background. It gathers because it's all about the Creator.
Todd, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm wonderful, Jay. It's good to see you, man.
We always have a good time.
Yeah, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
Yeah. You, unlike most worship recording artists and singers, your life doesn't start off as a singer. You don't start off as a worship leader in church and whatnot. But of all things, your life starts off as you come on the scene as a professional
baseball player.
Baseball player.
Yeah. That was that. I didn't see any of this. Didn't want it. Didn't want to see it. Didn't, you know, church music and church in general, my parents made me go. So
yeah.
I think that's probably the testimony for a lot of kids. It's like, when you first start off, you kind of like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, why do I have to go 75 times a week? Like, what's the deal? And you know, God just has a weird way of flipping the whole script and making you enjoy what you once hated. And,
wow.
You know, but it started with baseball for me.
Tell me about the baseball experience. How did you get into that? How did it become a profession for you? Because it literally, that's a journey. Most people don't make it to that level at all.
Yeah, as a child, I excelled. And it was because in the neighborhood, they played baseball outside. And they were all bigger, stronger, faster than me.
This is in Chicago.
In Chicago. Mm. So I had a neighborhood of guys that were already good, and I just wanted to fit in.
Did your dad play baseball or anything?
No.
Wow.
So it was just me. I learned from those guys how to hit, how to throw. And then when my mom signed me up for, you know, to play at my age.
Okay.
Then I was like, oh, I've gotten good. Like, you know, messing with the older kids, I've gotten good. And from there, I started watching TV and said, I want to play on TV one day.
Wow.
And that
Who would have been exciting. Somebody you looked up to at that time?
Ken Griffey.
Okay.
Ken Griffey, Barry Bonds.
Wow.
You know, they looked like me, you know? So I was just like, I can possibly be a professional baseball player one day, make a lot of money. The lifestyle looked really, really fun. And so that's all I wanted.
You make it to, do you go first to AAA first or AA? So how does it work?
You go in rookie ball, A ball, AA, AAA, and then the big leagues if you're blessed enough.
Yeah.
You know, and so I played a total of 5 professional years in the minor leagues before making that transition.
Wow. Yeah. You're in the minor leagues, you're thinking what? At some point you're going to make it or you're thinking this is never going to happen for you?
No, I wouldn't be there. I was there to make it, right? You know, I played a few big league spring training games and I got a taste of it and I could feel it. Like I was there hungry and it developed something in you that I don't think any other, you know, profession really developed. Like, because everybody's trying to eat each other alive to get to the top.
Yeah.
So you develop this callous, like, demeanor to be able to say, you know what? I don't care about you. Mm-hmm. I don't care about you. I'm here to make it. Mm-hmm. And so when you take that and transfer that over to ministry, it's not that you don't care about people,
right?
But you're able to have a real callous demeanor and say, nothing can stop me.
No matter what.
Yeah, nothing that the enemy can throw my way can stop me because I've seen competition.
Yeah. And you got such a vision.
Yes.
And such faith that you know. I always say faith is not what you feel. Mm-hmm. Faith is what you know.
What you know.
So once you know it, you can move forward.
It doesn't matter. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Just a matter of time. Ooh, I like that. Just a matter of time. All right. So then you finally get the call that you made it to the big league.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get that call.
Oh, what happened?
No, just before going back for my fourth season with the New York Mets, I met Smokey Norfolk.
Okay.
And so I began to sing in the off season, like behind him at church, took me to the celebration.
No, wait a minute. I'm talking about baseball.
Yeah.
So, okay, go. All right.
Let me tell you, before spring training, I end up developing a love for this whole background singing.
Got it.
And when spring training came back around, I said, nah, I don't want to do it.
Wow.
Yeah. Now that same way you look right now is the way my parents felt.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they were like, no. They're like, think about the time, the money, the energy that we put into developing you.
Wow.
And I said, no, I found something that I'm supposed to do. Now, my parents raised me in church my whole life.
Yeah.
The moment I actually tell them I found something
don't
that I believe God is telling
it.
Me to do, they were like, yeah. That's not God. And I said, wait, you told me.
Don't do mom and dad like that.
No, I tell them, and I say it proudly at like Thanksgiving and stuff.
That's
like,
funny.
Yeah, because I'm like, you guys told me to hear God.
Yeah.
I think that this is God saying that I'm supposed to lead worship.
You start singing in church. You realize you got a gift. I heard somewhere you went there initially because of a young lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then God got a hold of you.
I don't even talk to the young lady no more.
She was the inspiration.
She didn't become Miss Todd. No.
But she was the inspiration.
She was the inspiration. Got me to church at Smoky Norfolk's church. And that first night, I gave my life to the Lord.
Wow.
I gave my life to the Lord. I enjoyed the ministry so much. Didn't even know that I could possibly sing on that level. I just knew I sang around the house.
Yeah.
And so when it was time for me to serve in church, I, of course, gravitated to the choir.
Talk about the conversion experience, the salvation experience. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up in PK, yeah. You know, cutting teeth on the church bench and all that kind of stuff. I know better and all that. You know, I always am. I always have this great admiration for people that didn't necessarily have to go this way,
yeah,
and yet authentically make it through this route. Yeah. I want somebody watching this to mm-hmm. to understand the power of the Holy Spirit and how it can convert you and change you,
yeah,
from on a path of something completely different and to the world's eyes, extremely successful and saying, hey, listen, it ain't about that.
Yeah.
There's something far greater than money and fame and fortune.
Absolutely. So for me, when I was a child and my parents raised me in church, that those seeds, you cannot put a price on what they were doing on the inside of
wow.
me. Because I thought it was a waste of my time. I said, wow. Well, I gotta keep going to church. They put seeds down on the inside of me so that when I got to Smoky Norfolk's church that one night, I feel like
every seed that
was ever sown came alive that night.
Wow.
When I was there with that girl, trying to get to know that girl.
That's crazy.
They gave the invitation to discipleship. I had experienced God the whole night. I'm sitting there. I don't even know if I talked to that young lady the whole night because I was sitting there and I was just like, oh, my God. Like. Yeah, like something's happening in me. And then they say, is there anybody that would like to dedicate their lives to the Lord Jesus tonight? And I got up, forgot the girl was there. I walked.
Wow.
I went down there. I'm weeping. And I'm like, and from that moment, my life turned around. So much so that I was able to say, I don't want to play baseball anymore.
Wow.
Now, that was a little radical. In hindsight, I was like, I say, Jay, maybe we could have did both, right? Had I thought it through, maybe we could have went back and did it another way. But at that moment, when you first meet Jesus for real,
come on,
you get radical to the point where you don't care about anything. I don't need anything. I just want Jesus.
Yeah.
And that was the moment that it changed my life. And it was the birthing of that whole worship movement in me.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I don't care about what you guys have to say. This is Jesus or nothing at all.
This is Jesus' thing.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing you on the road years ago, you know, when we first met way back in the day. And you start off as an independent artist and you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
And you're on your grind, I would say. I would say that's probably grinding you,
yeah.
right?
Working.
You're working. Nope. Because it's not like you say no to baseball. And the reason why I'm making this point is because I don't want somebody to watch
overnight.
This and say, there you go.
Yeah.
As soon as I say yes to God, everything's going to be easy.
Yeah.
There's no work to do. No, there's a there's a wilderness experience.
That's right.
There's the
family. My whole family say you're out of your mind. Like they, you know, I mean, I had to move out of my parents' house. Like if we want to tell the whole, I had to move out. I got into altercations with siblings because everybody was just so offended.
Disappointed, probably.
Yeah, they were like, man, you know, well, because I mean, you got to think about it like this too. Everybody in your family knew you when you were not full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So they're like, nah, this is just another one of those crazy experiments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so they don't know that if you've had a real encounter with God, they don't. They're just going by what you
say. By what you're saying, what you're doing. You know, as I'm sitting here watching you, and I've known you for years, and we talk, we cut up all the time.
We do.
But even as you're talking right now, man, only thing I could, my mind goes to Joseph.
Wow.
You know, that's where my mind goes to when I hear your life story, when I hear this journey, this transformation, I just see Joseph just comes right across my face in the sense of telling his family, hey, man, I have a dream and them going, this ain't it.
Right. Listen, man, I'm going to say this. My brother and I don't know if he'll, I don't know how he'll feel about me sharing it, but I'm going to share this. Brother, I love you. You know, I love you. Tori, I love you. It's my brother. One Thanksgiving, we get into it really bad, really bad in front of the family. And him and I, we hardly ever get into it. I almost get teary-eyed even talking about it right now. That's my brother. And he pretty much raised me, you know, to be a strong young man. But we get into it. And I really couldn't put my finger on why we were into it. Like, we're chest to chest.
Wow.
You know, and the argument's raising up. And I'm like, what are we arguing? Like, why is he on me like this?
Right.
And at this point, I'm an older guy now. So I'm like ready to whatever, you know, with my brother. If my brother's going to fight me, I'm ready for whatever, you know. Yeah. But he's my big brother, you know, probably beat me up still.
Yeah.
Right. So, but he comes back to me later on. And to your point, he comes back to me later on and says, Todd, I love you, but I want to let you know that I dealt with some sort of jealousy of what God had done in your life.
Wow.
And he told me that, man. And and it blessed me so much because I couldn't understand. People want that whole anointing piece. People want the mantle to rest on them. But you don't know what it comes with, man. It comes with so much of isolation because you have to go through the place where you are okay with just sitting by yourself and hearing from God. And I went through that. My brother is, like I say, will always be one of my best friends, biggest supporters. But that meant so much to me. He told me that because I honestly couldn't figure out why we were at odds. But that was a Joseph experience for me.
Wow. You got to be okay with being not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So amazing. But you actually traveled to Africa quite a bit.
All the time.
All the time doing concerts and shows and just having like revival style worship services over there. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. God has given us favor in the motherland and really probably more than what we do here in America. We've been over there. We were over there in Uganda three nights in a row, 75,000 people gathered and worshiped with us.
Wow.
So it's unlike, well, they will stir your hunger up in another way anyway, because the way they pursue God, even with the circumstances that you may see over there, will cause you to come back home and say, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I? And so all of those experiences, Javen, have kind of got me to refocus my attention back where it needs to be. That's where I am right now. You sent me a text the other day to change my life.
Mm.
You sent me that message you sent me the other day about leaning into the mogul side more than the artist side changed my life. But I'm just saying that to say the Africa experience, messages like yours, a lot of different prophetic words from different men and women of God has gotten me to refocus on what matters. And it's the presence and the power of God.
It's the presence and the power of God. We get there. We have this huge audience. And then you start bringing in some people. So I'm going to start with the biggest, I would say the top.
Yeah.
And that's the Godfather himself of choirs and gospel music that I know we grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
The one and only Bishop Hezekiah Walker.
Yeah.
Then you do another song that I love. You do a song called Great Things.
Oh,
Great Things.
That exploded in the house.
What is that about?
So that song, let me tell you, actually, in actuality, it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. I did it the other night. We were with we were in a church, World Changers, Pastor Taffy Dollar and Women's Conference.
Taffy Dollar.
Yes, yes, yes. And so we were part of the Women's Conference there, and we had. I looked up at the clock. I had about 2 minutes left. I said, "We can squeeze great things. we can squeeze it. We squeeze it in, and it explodes."
What's the lyrics?
It says, "When I thought it was over, God, you did it again. Yeah. I thought I wouldn't make it. You did it again. Wow. When I felt like it was the last time, you did it again." And then we seal it by saying, God keeps doing great things.
People look at some of the most simplistic sometimes things, and they think that, or they think it's simple, but they don't realize.
He had to do this. He had to just wake me up this morning. He had
great
to
things.
Clothe me in my right.
Great things.
Let me say this. I think this is potent right here.
Come on.
I had to learn that God clothing me in my right mind is one of the most powerful and miraculous things that he does every minute of every day, every second of every day. Now, let me say this. When you deviate from God's plan, you come out of your right mind.
Wow.
And it's easy for you to stay out of your right mind. You know how people will fall into sin and stay in sin? That's you outside of your righteous mind. And so I wasn't in my right mind.
Yeah.
So when I say, God, I thank you for my right mind, meaning the mind that says, I yield my life to you. Yeah. All I want is you.
Yeah.
That's my right mind. I got that mind on me right now.
Yeah.
I didn't have that mind for a season.
Wow.
Because I cared more about the things of the world than I did about the things of God. And so I'm so glad to be back in my right mind.
And that is a great thing.
Yes. I ain't crazy, God. But I thank God I'm a right mind.
No, but it's so true, man. That's a great, great thing. Yes. And you can only appreciate that after the fact, or looking back on, like you said, when the mind was
out of pocket and not even real, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You don't even know you're not in your right mind.
Come on.
You think that you're like, okay, I just made a mistake. No, and then you stay out there too long.
Yeah.
And now I don't even know you know when you're in your right mind. That right mind be like, hey, I'm going to church today. Oh, I'm studying today. Oh, I'm praying today.
I'm going.
No, I can't even entertain that today.
Yeah.
I can't do none of that. Don't call me with that. Because I'm in my right mind, and all I got to do is stay focused. And I know that the provision of God is wherever my right mind
is. That's good, Todd. That's good. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think according to the power that works through you.
Yeah.
Great things.
Yeah.
You then do a song. I really, really... This song.
You keep saying that. I really, really like this one.
There's a lot. I like the whole night. That's what I really loved about the night. I will say that. I'm not just saying that because you're here. I'm not saying this because you're a real friend and a brother to me. But it really is. It really was an experience from top to bottom. I mean, I even remember you going in the back and praying.
Yeah.
You know, who starts a concert in the back praying with, you know, people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you're back there and you're praying. And I remember seeing all the people gathering around you. And I remember thinking, this guy is serious.
Dude, is that the first time that you felt like that about me?
Put the camera on me.
That's sad, bro. Because I feel like you really mean that's the first time.
It's not the first time. I'm just saying, you know, like usually when you do concerts, people are in concert mode. They back there, getting dressed and makeup. Uh-oh. This guy is in the back
praying.
And there's a swarm of people around you, and you all are praying. And then what the audience didn't know was that 24 hours before that, we shot a whole different television show concept that we talked about because you wanted to give back. You said you wanted to reach back and find somebody that just never got a chance or
put them on stage,
never have an opportunity. And you said, I want to put them on stage and I'm going to let them sing on my album. I said, is this somebody you know? You said, no, Javen, we're going to go and find them. We're going to pick them. And we did that the night before. Well, we didn't pick the person, but we went through all the auditions. Talk about that a little bit.
And we picked them live in front of everybody at the recording.
It's crazy.
This person had never, they were responsible. We had gotten it down to three finalists.
Well, tell them how we did that.
Okay. So
talk about the night before.
All right,
before.
So what we did was we had people send in phone submissions from all over the world. And when once we narrowed it down, we got it down to 10. Then we brought Javen in, Israel Houghton, Tim Godfrey, Tracy Bethea, our radio host here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Tell them who Tim Godfrey is.
Tim Godfrey is an awesome worshiper from Nigeria. Lagos, stand up. I know you're watching Lagos, Nigeria. I know you are. So we narrowed it down to 10. We had them compete and minister, and we got it down to 3. Now, those final 3 had to go home the night before the recording and study a song just in case they won. And the night of the recording, we call somebody up who won, and either they were going to sink or swim.
That was crazy. I was nervous. Let me tell you, I was nervous for them. I could not believe
it. I was nervous. That's my album. I was like, what if my album goes down the drain right here?
Yo,
with this
can
guy?
I tell you that was a bold move. I've never seen nothing like that where a gospel recording, can y'all imagine a gospel recording artist that's on a label? So this is not Todd on his own label. He's on a label.
Yeah.
What's your label?
Monarch.
Monarch.
Yep.
Okay. So he's doing this on a label, and he's getting ready to give a virtual unknown the opportunity of a lifetime. I'm the one, keep in mind, that had to go up there and call the name,
yeah.
announce the name. And this is in the middle of this concert after the power of God has failed and we got a flow going.
Yeah.
So this is either going to keep going right or this is getting ready to be a disaster.
Right.
But it wasn't.
I can't wait for the people to see it.
Yeah. It's going
to be see it.
So the show is called Take Your Place.
Take Your Place.
Take Your Place. It was absolutely crazy. Power of God even fell that night.
Yeah. I didn't want to tell
them. Oh, you want me to tell them?
Let them that Take Your Place is the name of the show.
Yeah.
Already told him. That's
one of many surprises that happened.
Yeah.
In that take. All right. So we get on that night and we have a moment. You sing this song.
Oh wow.
Ooh, I love this psalm from David. I don't even know if you know where I'm going, but I love this. I think it's Psalms 121. All of my help.
Yeah. All of my help comes from the Lord.
That's Psalms. Look at me. Isn't that terrible? My theology.
He's a pastor.
It's embarrassing.
This is a pastor.
Somebody call in. They're going to talk about us now. I often say when you get to the end of you, that's where God begins.
Yeah.
You know, like when you get into that space and then that season where it's like, I don't have it.
And you stop caring. I'm there. I'm there. You know, I tried to care. So much because we're in the age where no one will even post a picture of themselves that's really themselves. It's like, you got to filter this. You got makeup here. I was in that space and it's just hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to live like that. So I got to the end of that and I said, Father, I don't care anymore. Mm. Just let me care about what's important to you.
Mm.
That's it. I don't want to. If you're following my page or following me because you want to be influenced, well, get ready to get influenced to follow the Holy Spirit because that's all I'm on right now. My mind is so locked in, Jay, because I got tired trying to do it by myself.
Yeah.
And it just. It almost destroyed me.
It's almost like I can hear you saying that what real Christianity is all about, or what it really means to walk in true divine faith as a believer, is to die to self.
Yeah. I'm tired. I'm tired of the whole influencer era. I really am. And this might even aggravate you. I'm even a little tired of the whole pastor influencer era. I really am. I want us to get back to just being full of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
Where we're weird. It's okay. Believing in a God that you cannot see is going to be strange. There's no way to unstrange that. You pray in the Holy Ghost, there's no way to unstrange that. You're just going to be strange. And we have to get back to where we're okay with that, man.
Crazy for Jesus.
Yeah, we have to get back to that. We tried to make it look too cute.
Wow. Wow.
And try to make it look so swaggy.
Wow.
You know, all our influencer pictures online are just straight the best shoes, the best this, the best that. We're not normal. Wow. The kingdom of God is not normal. We're not normal. So there's no way to try to dumb down the supernatural.
How did you get to this level? Because this is an intense level.
How did you get
to this level? What would you say? I mean, it may not even be that deep.
Pastors. I got a good pastor.
Good pastor.
Dr. Bill Winston.
Got it.
He's a faith teacher.
Yeah.
And he talks a lot about breaking away from the systems of the world to get on the system of the kingdom of God.
It's good.
And that has taken root in me, especially when you realize that you're kind of leaning on the systems of the world.
Yeah.
That message comes up in you and say, get back over here to an unlimited supply of heaven.
Yeah. And that system of the world, and people have to understand that in the sense of religion can be very much an example
of that.
Of that.
Yes. And we
not get relationship, but religion. Yep. Absolutely.
We get attached to our religious mindsets and constructs and the way we like to move and do things in church.
Yeah.
And that can become a huge stumbling block for you to get to the hand and the face of Christ.
Yeah. So all of my help comes from the Lord. All of it.
Yeah.
Not some of it. Not let me do what I need to do, and then God, you sprinkle your ghost on my holy, or your holy on my ghost.
Yes.
But you're saying literally, I don't want to do. Okay, that makes sense now in hindsight, because I felt like you know, in these moments of this experience, I felt like that was all God flowing through you.
Yeah.
Was that your intention? Am I right?
Yeah, we're always looking for those moments. Like that's what my whole music ministry career.
So you're not trying to show off and sing
Nope. I am there to capture the moments of God. I can capture the songs in the studio. That was the case. I just go in the studio, record a studio album.
Yeah.
But the reason that we all get together to record an album live is that I can capture the move of God.
Yeah.
If I capture that, that's going to be a hit record. And so every time we get together, that's the object. Get a moment where God is speaking or breathing or blowing across the room.
Stay there.
Stay in that all night. Stay in that.
Yeah, you've been doing that with your company, Delaney Music, and getting people an opportunity to write.
Yeah.
And hone in on their gifts.
Yeah.
But what are y'all doing them things? What are you doing? You've never invited me to be
You want to come out there?
Okay, I feel like
bring you out next time.
I mean, the one guy that does like all stuff.
You do.
I do a lot.
You a talented dude, man.
All over the
place. For real. That's why we're friends. I would be friends with you if you weren't talented. I'll tell you.
No. You get back focused on this. All okay. Right. So what do y'all do with these workshops? Which I think is brilliant, by the way.
So we what we do is we cause writers to come together in one city, one place, and we pair them up in groups. And they write songs unto God, right? Wow. And then we teach them in that how to split up percentages of the song, how they will get paid, if the song lands on someone's record.
Got it.
And then that is our part as well.
Yeah.
I will take a good song
and help
and call one of my friends that is in the industry that's an established artist and say, hey, I have a song for you.
Yeah.
Why don't you try this? Now, if it lands on there, they get a chance to... You know,
Todd, listening to you talk and just knowing truly that this is not fluff, that this is truly what's going on in your camp. And I might have said this to you before, and you can jump in at some point, but it really likens. I had a chance to work with the late, great Andre Crouch. Mm-hmm. And to watch him up close and to watch him from afar as a kid, it really, really resonates. You know, some of that same purpose. Like to me, Andre had this anointing on his life where he wanted to see people win.
That's it.
You could see it. The Danny Bell Halls, his twin sister.
Yep.
What's the name that for the Color Purple that did all the singing? And just so many other great singers that he produced and so many great songs that he gave to us for hymnals and whatnot. He was always sharing the stage. He was always stepping back and letting other people shine. I feel like, you know.
It's the secret.
Yeah.
It's the secret. That is the secret. Well, the secret of it is given. It shall be given unto you.
Yeah.
Good measure, pressure. That's the secret. But yeah. People a lot of times just limit that to money and then they're just done with it. But it's everything. And so if you have, give. Give and it shall be given. And so I've learned how to embrace and enjoy giving.
It's good.
And so, like, I love being able to find a new artist, find a new voice, a new anointing, and share it with the world. It takes nothing from me.
It takes nothing from me.
Wow. I've done this. Like, I've been on this stage. And everywhere that I go, they're going to ask me to do something. They're going to ask me to sing. But they may not ask somebody in the corner to sing.
Yeah.
So it's not going to take from me to pull them up and put them up there because I'm established.
Yeah.
I'm fine. And so you got to get to that place in your mind and in your heart that to know that I don't need a platform. I'm okay for the rest of my days.
Yeah.
God has given me a voice in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
He's given me a voice and
continues.
And it continues.
Yeah.
Yep. So now, how do I find someone and help them so that they can be the same?
And in a way, that really becomes a part of your legacy, you know, because Tata, the singer I was thinking about for The Color Purple and a lot of your TV jingles back in the day was Tata Vega, a renowned singer in the industry.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that, you know, she's still alive today. She's still singing. Crystal, I can't think of Crystal's last name. Howard, I can't think of Howard's last name. Wouldn't that be a great show to pull all of them back? All the, the disciples that are still alive?
Did you really just come on with a show? You look at you,
We need to do that.
Come up with television shows in the middle of this interview?
I'm just saying, man. That would be a great show. Bring all the disciples back. Anyways, I feel like that's the same anointing that's on your life, my brother. Wow. So we speak that over you and we pray continued success in that area that you will continue to find those diamonds in the rough and give them the opportunity of a lifetime to share the gospel around the world in Jesus' name.
Worship music is a world of its own.
Yeah.
I you know what I mean? That's no shade or shot at anything.
Yeah.
Worship music will stand throughout time. Why? Because it's preparing us for what we're going to do in heaven.
Wow.
And so that's why there is a different power on it. That's why it's a different unity on it. It's gathering cultures. It gathers. It doesn't care about your color. Doesn't care about your background. That's doesn't care. It gathers because it's all about the Creator and not about the man or your ability, your musicality. It doesn't care. It's like, this is for the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And whenever you point towards the King of Kings, everything that he has access to, we have access to in this room.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah.
I love the way you put that. I really believe, I tell people all the time that, you know, one of the things that you need to understand is you can pray and prayer, the Bible says pray without ceasing, right? You know, but when you pray, you can only pray about things that you know about, you know, my health, my family, my situation. But I think, you know, the Bible says enter his gates though with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise.
Yeah.
So it's almost like if you're really wanting to get God's attention, or if you really, you know, the idea is to get to God, right?
Yeah.
Because we know that if we get to God, then all the issues and all the things that we were getting ready to pray about will be resolved. Because Jesus never went anywhere and a miracle didn't take place.
Right.
Jesus never went anywhere and left people dead if they were dead, or left them sick if they were sick.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people that he didn't intentionally go to specifically, like the woman with the issue of blood, he's pressing through a crowd. She's grabbing a hold of faith and gets her miracle. And so I often tell people, if you want a miracle, all you need to do is get into his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And your vehicle for the presence of God is worship.
That's right. That's right. And it's always been and it always will be. We're on our way somewhere where everybody's starting to say that they can see that we are in the end times.
Mm.
We're not. If you are anybody that reads the word of God, you see that we're in the end times.
Mm.
You see that Christ's return is approaching. Wars, rumors of wars. Men will be lovers of themselves. You see it. We see this. And so he's developing a sound that's gathering cultures, and worship is the vehicle that we will use. And we'll all surround the throne of God and call out holy, holy, holy with the angels.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Even if you can't sing?
Even if you can't sing. I think I want to believe maybe we're all going to be able to kind of hold a note up in glory. You know what I mean?
I never thought about that.
I pray that because I don't want to hear some of the stuff we hear down here on earth today. Like, I think that when we get there, everything is going to be made well.
Everything's
voices are going to be dynamite. They're going to be like, oh my God, I can sing now.
What? And I feel like I'm going to be taller in heaven too. I'm just saying.